Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Father, we give you praise, we magnify you and exalt you this morning. We exalt you because you are here and we have come to declare the name Jesus. We have come to worship you. We have come to give our very best unto you. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for your church and thank you for everyone that is gathered here and even those who will be coming. We give you praise for what you are set to do in our midst this morning. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you and we bid you welcome. We ask you to take everything absolute control. Move in your soul liberty. Saturate our hearts and our mind. Fill us with your power. Let your word come in power. And let your people, together with me, be blessed in Jesus' name. We thank you for this morning. And let us sing, shout a big amen. Somebody is blessed. Come on, put your hands together and be seated. Hallelujah. We give God the praise for yet another Truth Encounter service. We thank God for your life. And we thank God for how far he has brought us as his church. Amen. I want to appreciate God for everybody for giving God your best this morning. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. David said that, early will I seek thee. There's a special grace, there's a special anointing that flows early in the morning. Hallelujah. And I thank God for giving your best to God. The Sunday is the Lord's day. John said that on the Lord's day, I was in the spirit. Hallelujah. The day Sunday belongs to God. And for you to give him the best, the first of your day, I pray that God will not disappoint you. That is weak. I pray that God will not disappoint you. But God fulfill his word in your life. Amen and amen and amen. We give God the praise. I want us to move straight to the word of God. As I said, today we'll be concluding our series on the awakened life. Tell somebody the awakened life. Hallelujah. And I believe God is speaking to us throughout this month, and it's been glorious, it's been wonderful, it's been powerful. I myself have been blessed by the things that God is sharing through me, and as I've also carried it over to the church. Amen. For the past 3 weeks or so, we've been looking at the scripture, Psalm number 17, verse number 15. I believe David prayed one of the most potent and powerful prayers when he said that, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Praise God. We've been looking at what it means to live the awakened life. We've been looking at the effect to sleep. What happens when you are asleep? What goes around you? What you lose when you are sleeping? But this morning, as we conclude on the subject, I would like to touch on the great benefit, or what you stand to gain, or what happens when you are awake. What happens, or what you stand to gain, or what is the result of the awakened life? In other words, the benefit of the awakened life. Amen. Now, basically, we must understand from the pages of scripture that once a person is awakened, you supernaturally change position. When you are sleeping, you are sleeping to a particular world or an environment. And when you awake, you come into a new realm of consciousness. So, to be awakened means to be divinely positioned. To be divinely positioned. I want to make that point very clear for us to understand. Now, for those who have not been part of the series, we have come to understood from the Word of God that there is a place where men sleep in God. There is a place where men sleep in God. In other words, you can be a child of God, but yet you'll be sleeping. Your life, your spiritual life, everything will be in slumber. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 14, makes us to understand this. Ephesians chapter 5, he said that, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? Light. Praise God. So, this scripture was not given to unbelievers, but was given to the church, that they should what? Awake. There is a place in God that makes men what? Sleep. But this morning, we thank God for bringing us into our full consciousness, whereby we will not sleep, but we will be awaked. Amen. Now, the results of every awakening is what brings great revival. The results of every awakening is a great revival. Once you are awake, you come into the place of great revival. And when I talk about revival, what do I mean? What does it mean, or what is revival? In this service, I'll try and give one or two, yes, I'll give two definitions of revival, and then I'll continue from the second service. What is revival? What is revival? This morning, as I prepared my notes, I got to the stage and I realized that what I prepared was not on this, but God has given us what to do. Amen. Now, what is revival? What is revival? What is revival? Number one, revival is the move of the Spirit that baptizes believers with the spirit of fear of God, thereby empowering us to seek to please God at all times. I want to repeat it so that you take your time and write. Revival is the move of God, or the move of the Spirit, that baptizes believers with the spirit of fear of God, thereby empowering us to seek to please God at all times. Let me come again. Revival is the move of the Spirit that baptizes believers with the spirit of fear of God, thereby empowering us to seek to please God at all times. So, revival simply means seeking God at all times. Seeking God at all times. It is a great move of the Spirit that forces or causes every child of God to fear God and be empowered in seeking to please God. So, to be revived means having the desire to please God all the time. When somebody is revived, it means that the person is having a great desire to please God at all times. Now let's give a supporting scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 verse number 10. He says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. This is the testimony of Paul to the church, how he lived his life even among the saints. Now we must come to a place where our spirit is so alert and we are revived in our nature to do and to seek that which what pleases God. And that which pleases God, according to the scripture, says it is holy, it is unblameable even among what the saints. Again, let's look at the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 to 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 verse 1 to 2. Again he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of what? The fear of God. Number 2, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. And we have defrauded what? No man. That must be a life of a person who is awake. And to be awake means to be revived. And one of the things that shows that you are revived is that you seek to please God all the time. You seek to do what? Please God all the time. Somebody is blessed. So again, what is revival? Let me give you another definition. What is revival? What is revival? What is revival? Is somebody following me? What is revival? I love one particular definition that was meant earlier. I want to give that one to you. Now, it is a move of the spirit that stirs the spirit of man. It is the move of the spirit. Everybody write it. It is the move of the spirit that stirs the spirit of man to commit to kingdom advancement. Kingdom advancement endeavors. What is revival? Revival is the move of the spirit that stirs the spirit of man to commit to kingdom advancement endeavors. To commit to kingdom advancement endeavors. So, one thing is very clear. When you are talking about the awakening life, it says the awakening life brings you into revival. And in revival, it is the spirit that moves men to commit themselves to kingdom advancement what? Endeavors. Let's go into the scripture. Haggai chapter 1 verse 5 to 14. Haggai chapter 1 verse 5 to 14. Now the Bible says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Amen. Ye have sown much and bring in what? Little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye have not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earned wages, earned wages to put it in the bags with hot holes. Give me the last verse. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Praise God. Now, we are talking about the Spirit of God stirring up in the heart of man to commit to kingdom endeavors and to the kingdom world ways. Now, the Bible says that the people have left the ways of God, which means that instead of them committing to the kingdom of God, to the temple and to God and his work, they were committed to themselves and they were doing whatever they wanted to do. And this is what came up upon them. They work, but they don't receive anything. Whatever they get, they put it in their pocket, and they put it in a pocket where there are holes. Is somebody here with me? When they drink and they don't get what? Satisfied. And the Lord is telling them they should do hard. They should do hard. They should do hard. They should do hard. Continue with me. Verse 8. Now the Bible continues. Verse number 8, please. Go up to the mountains and bring what? Help me read. And build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified. So now God is giving them the solution to their poverty, the solution to their problem, whereby they work so much, but they don't get anything happening or working for them. They put on clothes, but then it doesn't fit. It doesn't make them any different. Now God says, this is what I want you to do. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build what? The house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be what? Glorified, says the Lord. Now continue with me. Verse number 9. Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. When ye brought it home, I did blew upon it. Which means God scattered the blessing. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house, that is what? Waste. And ye ran every man unto his own hut. Wow. Is God speaking to us? Verse number 10. Therefore, the heavens over you is stayed from thee, and the earth is stayed from her fruits. Wow. This is God at work. Verse number 11. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon the cattle, and upon all the labor of them. Continue with me. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnants of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did what? Fear God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's quickly run to verse number 13, 14. And then the Lord spake to Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. No, so 14, let's conclude. And the Lord stir up, somebody say stir up, the spirit of the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, and the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnants of the horde of the people. And they came and did in the house of the Lord of hosts what? Their God. This is revival. This is an awakening word, people. They used to be in a situation where nothing seems to be what? Working for them. Now the word of the Lord came to them and said that the solution to your problem, or the reason why you are suffering, is that you have left the house of God unattended to. And you are seeking your own ways, doing your own things. And because of that, I, the Lord, I have scattered your blessing. I have blew it off. And whatever you are doing is not working anymore. Now, if you want the solution, attend to my house. So what is revival? It's still in the definition. Revival is the move of God. Now, you receive from the scripture that the spirit of who? Zerubbabel was stirred up. It is time for our spirit to stir up for the things of God. Am I speaking to somebody here? He said it was said also of Joshua, the son of Josedek, that his spirit was stirred up. You can't be awakened and not your spirit stirred up. That is serious. Anyone who is in the awakening, your spirit always does what? Stirs up. Your spirit is always alive. Your spirit is always alive. Your spirit is always alive. I pray that from today your spirit will come alive. In the name of Jesus, somebody is blessed. Amen. Let me quickly add one more. What is in revival for me, or what is revival? Let's define what is revival before we come to what is in revival for me. What is revival? The third definition in this service, a revival is a divine visitation ordained for supernatural change of position. What is revival? Revival is a divine visitation ordained for supernatural change of position for God's people. God says, when you are awake, there is a revival. In revival, I, the Lord, will visit you and change your position supernaturally. I only heard only few people saying amen. We saw this in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 to 20. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 to 20. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 to 20. Zephaniah chapter 3. Now the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee and is mighty. He will say, and he will rejoice over thee with joy. This is not just a reading, it's a prophecy. And he will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with horn singing. Continue. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Verse 19. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven out. I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Now the last verse, verse 20. Oh my God. At that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, and I will make you a name and praise among all the people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, sayeth the Lord. I say, sayeth the Lord. So this is a great visitation of God among the people to divinely change their position. When you are in revival, God visits you and change your position. Oh, come on. I pray for you today that may your position be changed. Spiritually, may you be shifted into a higher realms and a higher level. In the name of Jesus, may our church be shifted from a lower level to a higher level. Because there is an awakening in our spirit.
God is stirring the hearts of men in this house whose heart will move for the things of God. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Wow. And I see God doing it right now. I said, I see God doing it right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Son of the Living God. Now, what is in revival for me? My time is very fast spent. Please, let's be fast. What is in revival for me? If God says that the result of my awakening is to be revived, then what is in revival for me? What is in revival for me? What is in revival for me? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What is in revival for me? According to Isaiah chapter number 61 verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 3. He said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to the opening of prison to them that are what? Bound. Go on. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance unto our God, to comfort all that do hold that mourn. Go on. And to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of what? Righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that he might be heard. Glorify. Now go on to verse number 4. Go on to verse number 4. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolation. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many horde generations. Is somebody following me? Now continue with me to verse number 7. Go on. He said, and the strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Verse 6, it says that, but ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. And in their glory shall ye boast yourself. Now, give me the last verse, verse 7. Your shame, for your shame, you shall receive what? Double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double and everlasting joy. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. So, number one, what is in revival for them? It is the life of transformation. The life of every engaged believer is a revival of transformation. Your life is transformed. God divinely transforms your life. Somebody is blessed. Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 20 to 23. Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 20 to 23. What is in revival for me? Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 20 to 23. Say that, thus says the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come a people and inhabitants of many what? Cities. Go on with me. Go on with me. And then the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us do what? Go speedily to pray before the Lord God and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. And the last verse says, 23, that says the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men. You don't understand this prophecy. He said that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, not even in your vicinity, nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is. What is in revival for you is that God is going to transform your life. Oh my God, the amen is weak for me. To the extent that people would run after you, they will virtually hold you to follow you to where your God is. Why? Because they have seen something strange, something unique, something powerful, something exceptional. They have seen that your life is not like any other life, but God has divinely transformed your life. In revival, God is transforming you. Even beyond recognition, those who knew you before will find it difficult to see you this time, because everything had changed. A time is coming, and I prophesy based on the word of God, that you will come to church, and in coming to church, 10 people, even more, will hold you and will be following you to this house. You have to go and hire a bus and drive them here, because you are too loaded. You are too loaded with miracles. You are too loaded with testimonies. You are too loaded with goodness. You are too loaded. I came to tell you, it has already started. It has already started. It has already started. Yesterday, one of our mothers here called me and said, Pastor, for what God is doing, I don't understand. Now people are calling to follow me to where I am. People are calling me to follow me to where I am. The revival has just begun in this church. You will get up early morning like this and come to church, and you'll be receiving calls. When are we going? When is the church starting? What is happening today? Can I speak to the church now? Let there be revival. Let there be revival. Let there be revival. This had never happened in Israel before. But the prophet saw that the time is coming, and that is going to be the order of the day. Anyone called miracle manna, the miracle manna is not the building, it's you. Anyone called the miracle manna will come to church where people will be pulling you. In fact, they will follow you. They want to know what is happening here. I pray that may you become one. May you be an agent of revival. Because of what God is doing, if you believe it, shout hallelujah. My God. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Somebody is blessed. Let me give you one more in this service. One more. What is a revival for me? I'm giving only some few scriptures. Luke chapter 22, verse 35. What is in revival for me? He said, and he said to them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. Wow. Again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and the popular scripture. Philippians 4:19, he said that, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So what is in revival for you is that in revival, all your needs are supernaturally going to be met by God. All your needs supernaturally be met by God. All your needs. Jesus sent the disciples and he gave them nothing. In fact, they went empty. But when they were coming, they were full of joy and they were loaded. And Jesus asked them, why are you so happy and excited? And he said, I gave you nothing. But he said that, did you lack anything? And they said what? Nothing. When you are in revival, you will never lack anything. Amen. Whatever you need has already been provided. Amen. That is weak for somebody here. I pray for you today that as you have come into your place of awakening, you will not be worried. You will not be thinking about what you need or what must be done for you. But in revival, God is supernaturally supplying every need in the name of Jesus.
You will wake up and the need will be settled. You will wake up and that which you are looking for is already available. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but God is bringing his church into a place of revival. I'm telling you, money will never be a problem as a church. Resources will never be a problem unto us as a church. Everything that we need, God is supernaturally providing them in the name of Jesus. And I pray that may you be the first to hit. May you be the first to enjoy. May you be the first to come into that place. There will no one here who will be called poor.
Because if you need car will be supplied. I prophesy once again that a time is coming in this church. People are going to buy cars and dash it to members of the church. I'm telling you, come on, somebody write it today. You are going to buy cars and be dashing it for members of this church. Because everything we need is supernaturally. That is why we need to come into what? Awakening. Because without awakening, we can't come into the place of revival. Is somebody here with me? Is somebody here with me? Now, quickly, where should I stand? Or how do I position myself for revival? This is very important. How or where do I position myself? How do I position myself for this great revival? How do I position myself? What must I do? This is very, very important. What must I do? 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 Makadabo Shaha. Lebrazaka. Tell somebody, what must I do? I give God the praise for this. My God, what must I do? Thank you, Holy Spirit. What must I do? What must I do? What must I do? What must I do? Tell somebody, what must I do? John chapter 8, verse 28. John chapter 8, verse 28. Let's push this very fast for the. Now he says, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Somebody is blessed. Hebrews 11:5. It said, but by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That is another point. Mark 16:20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word with what? Signs following. Now, how do I position for this revival? Where do I stand for me to be revived? I must do what pleases God and continue to do it. Write it. I must do what pleases God and continue to do it. So it's not one time. When you do one thing that pleases God, it doesn't end there. You must always continue to do what pleases God. The Bible said that and Enoch lived and he was taken up. Why? He didn't see corruption because he did what pleases God. If you want to receive revival, always continue. Do what pleases God and continue to do what? To do it. Somebody is blessed. In this service, I'm giving one more. Why? What should I stand in for to be revived? What should I stand in? John chapter 10, verse 16. This is very important. John chapter 10, verse 16. He says, and the other sheep I have, which
are not of this fold, then also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one word
shepherd.
Now God is speaking to us again. Let's go to Luke 14:23. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be what?
Filled.
So how do I stand in to be revived? I must continue to bring new converts and invite people to church to meet Christ. To meet Christ. One way that a person must stand in revival is to seek that which God is seeking for. He said from the previous scripture we read, that is the Luke, John 10:16. He said that there is one more person that needs to join the fold, so that the fold will be what? One. Do you find it there? He said that I have which are not of this fold. There are people which are not part of this fold, and they must join this fold. He said that them also must I what? Bring. Is God speaking to somebody here? And they shall hear my voice, and they shall what? Also be what? One fold. God is speaking to us. If you want to stand in the place where you'll be revived, then you must learn to bring people to know Jesus. Invite people to church. Make it a point. Always welcome people to church. Always try and invite people. Let them come and see. He said that go into the highways and into the byways. And then what? Compel them to come, so that my house will be full. Praise God. Praise God. So, I think this will be enough for this service. Now the question is, how do I know that I am revived? This is very important. How do I know that I am revived? How do I know that I am revived? When somebody is in revival, it means the person has come into an awakening. How do I know? What is the litmus test to prove that I am revived? Number one, Jeremiah 31 verse 34. Now he says, Jeremiah 31 verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins anymore. May God bless those who said amen. Again, Acts chapter 19 verse 20, he says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now, how do you know you are in revival? How do you know that you are in revival? Number one, when the word of God continues to come alive in your heart in increasing measure. When the word of God continues to come alive in your heart in increasing what? Measure. Whenever you love God's word, whenever you love God's word, whenever you are always willing to feed on God's word, it is an indication that you are in revival. When you learn to read the Bible, when you learn to carry your word, when you learn to come to church with your notebook and your pen, at least to receive from God, it is an indication that you are in what? A revival. Somebody's blessed. I said somebody's blessed. Number two, what do I know? How do I know that I am revived?
Psalm 27 verse 4. Psalm 27 verse 4. Psalm 27 verse 4. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Oh, tell somebody, all the days of my life. Not some days, but all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Somebody's blessed. Psalm 122 verse 1 and 9. 122 verse 1 and 9. 122 1 and 9. Now he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What is the result? Go to 9. That's verse number 9. Quickly move to 9. Verse 9, please. Thank you, Jesus. Now, why? Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. There is good in this house. Is somebody here with me? So how do I know you are in revival? Number two, when coming to church becomes a normal way of life. When coming to church becomes what? A normal way of life. You don't need to be forced. You feel, David said, I was glad when they said unto me. In fact, I say this to the glory of God. I have learned from my infancy that Sundays are my best days ever. Even at a point when I didn't have any idea that I'm going to stand before people like him, or to minister, or to become a pastor. I don't know, for some reason, Sunday there's this joy that always comes into my spirit. And I don't know where the zeal and the strength comes from. And it's like I'm so excited and I wish every day was a Sunday. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it's an indication of how your spirit yearns for God. David said, I was glad. What motivates you to come here? Is it because you want to show off? Or you have a new dress? Or if you don't come, somebody will be calling you and be coming after you, and the pastor will not be happy with you? What motivates you to the house of God? If you have any motivation, or if you have any other reason aside the fact that you are not revived, then it means you are still sleeping. Is somebody here with me? Coming to church must be a normal way of life. Some of you put premium in your jobs and whatever you do that earns money, but you don't know that the psalmist says that in thy house there I will find thy good. There is nothing compared to the goodness that God releases unto us. Oh, your amen is sick for me. If I were you, I would make this place my permanent abode. I will be here in the morning when we have to come. I will be here in the evening when we have to come. There is no way that I will miss any meeting. Some of you have selectively, made some days your days. As for Sundays, I will be there. But when it comes to midweek, Pastor, forgive me. You don't know what you're doing. Praise God. You are not in revival yet. Tell somebody you are not in revival yet. You don't want to be part of the cell meetings. As for the cell meeting, cry the pastor, forget it. What is cell meeting? At least we come to church. That should be enough. But David said, how I love your courts. How amiable is your dwelling place. Is somebody here with me? There he finds satisfaction. When David talked earlier on in Psalm number 17 verse 15, he said, I will behold your face. It wasn't in the bush. It wasn't at the workplace. It wasn't at home. But I will behold your face in the temple. There is a meeting place. God always has a meeting place. Tap somebody and say, God always has a meeting place. That is why we call this place temple. That came the word temple. That is the meeting place where God meets his people.
So you can't stay home and still believe that you are meeting God there. Who told you your home is a temple? Is somebody here with me? Somebody is blessed. Now let me finally give you one more. What do I know? How do I know that I'm revived? How do I know that I'm revived? Father, we thank you. I say, Father, we thank you. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. Matthew 6, 33. How do I know I'm revived? You know it. Everybody quote with me. Go. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be what? Added to you. Good. Psalm 102, verse 13 to 15. Psalm 102, verse 13 to 15. How do I know I'm revived? But thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is now. Now look at it. This is not without what we are going to say. Is it that for thy servant take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof? You know what he's talking about? The stones represent the house of God, the place of prayer, and the dust thereof. Even the dust. Now, let's continue. He said that, so the hidden shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. Again. Haggai 1:14. Haggai 1:14. So you realize that you make yourself of no service if you come in without a pen and a notebook. In fact, if God had not intervened with my notes, it would have been very difficult to preach my message because the scriptures are many. So if you don't write them, you can't keep them here. Don't think you have them here. You are deceiving yourself. Is somebody here with me? Now let's read Haggai 1:14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of who? Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work again. They came and did the work of the house of the host and their God. Now listen. So the question, the answer is, how do I know I'm revived? When I begin to take pleasure in the things of God or the things of the kingdom. When I begin to take pleasure in the things of the kingdom as my way of life. When I begin to seek all my life the kingdom of God, my passion, my desire is the kingdom. My desire, everything about me. I may be a student, but my desire is the kingdom. I may be a businessman, but my desire is the kingdom. I may be a housewife, but my desire is the kingdom. Whatever I'm doing, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of who? God and his righteousness. And all other things shall be what? Added unto you. Somebody's blessed. Somebody's blessed. Can I add one more? Yes, I think I'm in time. Let me add one more. How do I know I'm revived? One more. Tell somebody one more. Yeah. Amen. Isaiah 8, 18. How do I know I'm revived? How do I know I'm revived? How do I know I'm revived? Isaiah 8, 18. He said that, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me, we are for what? Signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth where? Wow. So you know you are revived because you are a sign and you are hot. Okay. When you begin to experience supernatural what? Life of signs and wonders. Of signs and wonders. Of signs and wonders. John 3:6. It was spoken. He said that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So who are you? You are born of the spirit. You are a sign and you are hot, a wonder. When you go on to verse number 7, it tells you that the wind, he said, that marvel not that I tell you this. But you must be born again. Then verse 8 says that the wind bloweth where it would, it listeth, and thou heareth the sound thereof, and cannot tell where it goeth or cometh from. It says that so is everyone that is what? Come on, are you following me? Anyone that is what? Born of the Spirit. I am a sign and a wonder. People will find it difficult to know my whereabouts. In fact, they will only see my effect and my exploits. Oh my God. I prophesy over this church that this moment people are not locating us. They are not seeing us. But the time is coming in this year. The whole Kumasi will know this church. The whole world will come to know us. Because there is a revival. Stand to be revived. Is somebody here with me? Tell somebody, stand to be revived. And that can only happen when we don't sleep. David said, as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. And I shall be what? Satisfied when I am awakened. To be awakened means to be revived. This morning, may the Lord revive you. May our church be revived. You can imagine when all of us have come into the place of revival. What a great church will it be? When all of us are pleasing God. When all of us are putting ourselves to the things of God. When we are all coming together and doing what God expects of us. In that case, it will be difficult for the devil to stop any of us. I pray for you. Oh, come on, you are too sleeping. I said, I pray for you. May your spirit be revived. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now be on your feet as we sing the Great Awakening. Come on.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.